Go ahead and take your Bibles this morning, Genesis chapter 14. We are going to divert from our series for a couple of weeks to study another portion of the Bible. And I think from time to time it's a good thing to take a break and go in another direction. Genesis chapter 14 is going to be sort of our launching point. I saw something this past week that was speaking about a person. Not sure who this person was, but he was writing about why he did not believe tithing was in the Bible. And I'm looking at some of the things that he was saying, and I was thinking to myself, my goodness, has this guy not read the Old and New Testament together? And so we're going to take a look at that today, because this is something that you're going to find as you get older. There is a broad range of ideas when it comes to tithing, to giving. When we talk about tithing, we're talking about giving to a New Testament local church. And what does that mean, okay, the tithe? When we talk about that, what is that exactly? We're talking about giving a, what's the percentage of a tithe found in the Bible? Yes? 10%. You're going to see that, okay? So, in other words, a tithe, for those of you who maybe don't know this or you've not thought about it, a tithe is simply giving 10% back to the Lord of what you make. And so we see that. A couple other factors are we give of the first fruits. You'll see that as well as you study about tithing. And that simply means you give off the gross, okay? What you will find when you start collecting a paycheck. How many of you collect a paycheck currently? Okay, all right. What you'll find is that when you get that paycheck, you see some pretty depressing information on there. Okay, you first see your gross pay, and that's what you earn before taxes, and that's pretty fantastic. Okay, then you see your taxes and how much they're taking out for that, and then you say, "Now, where in the world is what am I left with? Oh my!" Okay, and then you see it down there. You're like, "Okay, how did my paycheck just cut in half there?" Okay, it's not that bad, but nonetheless, so when you tithe off of your gross, that's that top number. That's the first fruits, or what the Lord is meaning when we see that in Scripture. So it's it's giving 1/10 of what you've earned. And then it is of the first fruits off the gross. And then also, one thing you'll understand in the Bible is that it was more agriculturally related. And the reason is because in their economy, food was everything. Food they would often, in their tithe, they would give of their food. They would give of their flock. They would give of things that were valuable to them. Now, fast forward to our society. Okay, we deal in currency. Okay, that's our culture, and so when we tithe, we give of money today. Okay, but there are other places in the world that, when it comes to tithing, they're still giving of agricultural things, and that's not a problem. It's just connected with their culture. But you'll notice as we study God's Word that was their culture, and that was what God asked of them. So, some foundational things in regards to tithing, but one of the things that I want us to answer in these couple of lessons is tithing still for us today? Okay, because I think all of us could look at the Old Testament, find an obscure verse, and say, boy, we're not doing that anymore. And the truth is, we aren't, but there are reasons for that. But is tithing one of those things? Now, I'll be very honest with you today that not tithing appeals to my flesh. I mean, who doesn't want to have a little more cash in their pocket, right? Okay, but that ultimately, that shouldn't be the deciding factor. The deciding factor should be, what does God say? And so we're going to look at that. We're gonna examine this, and I hope that you'll open your heart to this, because whether or not you have a job, I would venture to say. Well, let me just ask you, how many of you have ever you've ever earned compensation, although you don't have a full-time job? You did a job and you received compensation for it. How many of you have done that at some point in your life, okay? Most hands are raised, okay? I remember growing up, I had an allowance, but that allowance was it was tied to a lot of chores, okay? A lot of things that I was doing around the house. I did those things, guess what? I got that money. I didn't do those things, guess what? I didn't get that money, okay? But that was just kind of how it was. But when I would get that money, that was money that I had earned and that I needed to establish, get into a pattern of tithing on, okay? And let me tell you this, okay? We're going to get into this. Like I said, there's so many things we could talk about in relation to this, but you learn this at your age, and I'm telling you, it will help you tremendously down the road, okay? So let's get into it. Genesis chapter 14 and verse 18. We're going to break our study into three parts, okay? And I hope to move through this quickly, but we're going to look at tithing before the law was given, okay? When was the law given? Somebody help me out. Law, when was the law given? Yes, Emmanuel. Okay, during the time of Moses. Yeah, okay, so we would look at the time before that as sort of pre-law, right? Okay, we would look at the time of Moses. We'd say, well, that's when the law was given. And then after, we would say post-law. And we say that because when did things sort of change? When's the next dividing line? Yes. Yeah, when Jesus died on the cross, right? A lot of the old ceremonial things that God had for his chosen people and so forth, those things went away. We had direct access to the Father. We no longer needed the priestly system that was in place at the time. And so we're going to look at those three aspects, and we're going to try to see, okay, well, was tithing just tied to the law? Okay, was this just something given to Israel? Okay, was it before the law was given? Do we see it in the New Testament? Is it after the law was given? So we'll look at that. Genesis chapter 14. Notice with me verse 18 here. Okay, now the Bible says in Melchizedek, king of Salem, give you a running start here, right? Lot is in trouble. Okay, that's not uncommon if you know anything about Lot. All right, he is in trouble here. He has gotten close to the well-to-dos. They're in the city of Sodom, and he's in the gate, the Bible says, which means he has some type of leadership. Well, when all of that, you know, those things are going on, somehow he's gotten into this battle with this other group who comes and then just basically carries people out of Sodom. And he was one of those people taken. So Abraham finds out about this, and he's like, oh, I got to go save Lot. So that's where then we pick it up in verse 18. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram, of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thine hand, and he gave him tithes of all. Okay, so what's happening here? All right, well, Melchizedek is sort of an interesting figure in Scripture. We don't know a lot about him. There's different speculation. Some people believe that this was a Christophany of the Old Testament. In other words, this was Christ in Old Testament form here who just appeared to Abraham. Abram knew, had some understanding that he was the priest, as it said here. Automatically, there is a respect here, an understanding between these two men, okay, whoever Melchizedek was. Abram goes to him. Abram here has actually gone and saved Lot by this point, and in doing so, he comes away with a lot of stuff because he and his servants completely annihilated this group that had taken Lot. So they've got all of this stuff. He goes to Melchizedek, who is the priest of the Most High God, and notice what happens here, what transpires. Again, this is pre-law, right? This is before Moses. So what's happening? Look at verse 18 again. Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God, and blessed him, this is Abram, and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. Okay, so there's several things that I want us to see here, but you'll notice in verse 19, he says, possessor of heaven and earth. He's talking about God here. Okay, so it's almost like this conversation starts. Abram brings all this stuff that he has just newly acquired, okay, worked for, so to speak, and he is going to offer a tithe to Melchizedek. But what does Melchizedek tell him? He says, hey, blessed be our God, okay, who is the possessor of all things. Okay, so I think it's really important that we understand that anything that I have, anything that you have, it already belongs to God. Okay, there is nothing that we have been privy to that the Lord God did not have some type of influence upon or hand in. And Melchizedek, that's his communication to Abram. Hey, Abram, it's good that you're here. Oh, wow, okay, yeah, you've brought this stuff. Boy, isn't God good? Isn't God good? He is the possessor of all things. He has all of our stuff anyway. So in God's economy, he owns everything anyway. So verse 20, though, it says, "And blessed be the Most High God, which had delivered thine enemies into thine hand, and he gave him," this is Abram, "tithes of all." Okay, so interesting here that before even the law was given, there's an understanding by Abram that he ought to be doing something in relation to the things that he has earned and the God that he serves. Okay, so there's this tithe here. Okay, he brings in this stuff. We won't take the time to look at it, but even though Adam and Eve did not have a written a rundown of what God asked of them, at least that we know, they had a close relationship with him to where there was some understanding on their part about some things. That trickled down to Cain and Abel, who had an understanding about an offering, right? I mean, remember, Cain brought the wrong stuff. Okay, Abel brought the right stuff. Okay, well, how is it that Abel knew to bring the wrong stuff or the right stuff? And how is it that Cain knew that he wasn't in compliance with what God wanted? Because there was an established thing, truth, before the law that the Lord somehow communicated to people. Okay? And there was an expectation on the part of God's people that they would give to him. All right, so those are just a couple of examples that we could look at. Now, when we're talking about Abram here, an argument might be that this was the only place that Abram gave a tithe. Okay, that might be the argument of some. Well, you know, Abram, you just see it that one time in Scripture that he gives of the tithe. Okay, now I would just say, not everything has been written down for us. Okay, and I think that it would be foolish to say that it, only because we see something one time in Scripture, that we would limit anybody to just one time, one place. Okay, I mean, we carried that attitude into the Gospels. How many things could we look at that Jesus did that it's only listed as one time and say, well, he only had to do that one time? Okay, that's not good logic. Okay, so we don't, just because it's not written down that Abram went about tithing here and there and we're given all these stories, doesn't mean that this was not a common practice. It was an expectation that he understood, and it was something that he was involved in. So pre-law, what's happening? Abram is giving to the Lord. Genesis chapter 28, go there. We're not far off from where we're at now. Genesis 28. Genesis 28, want to notice a couple of things here in Genesis 28. Now, verse 10 through 19, there's some important truths here, and this is really where Jacob is. He's headed towards Laban's house. Okay, he's got his stuff, he's got his inheritance, and he's just leaving, right? Esau is so frustrated with Jacob, he wants to kill him, he's mad at him. There's that disconnect, and then, of course, Jacob just gets out of town. So in doing so, we have here in verse 10, let's see what's happening. And this is Jacob's dream. "And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he alighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. He took the stones of the place and put them for pillows and lay down in the place to sleep. And he dreamed, behold, a ladder set on earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels ascending and descending. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I'm the Lord, God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. And whereunto thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad the west and the east and the north and the south. And in and on thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Notice, "and behold, I'm with thee, and will keep thee in places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into the land, for I will not leave thee till I have done that which I have spoken to thee. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? There is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning. He took the stone that he had put for his pillow and set up for a pillar and put oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at first. Okay, so what's happening here? Look at verse 20. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be for me and will keep me in this way, then I go up. I will eat bread and raise and put on. Okay, all right, so long story short, right, what's happening here? Okay, this is before the law again. But again, we have an expectation on the part of someone who is seeking God, trying to follow God. He takes his pillow that he's been sleeping on. I don't know how that could have been comfortable to sleep on a rock. Nonetheless, he does it. He takes the pillow, he sets it up as for an altar, and he gives unto the Lord. All right, so there was clearly an expectation before the law in regards to tithing. Verse 20, you notice the language, we read it. He vowed a vow, saying, if God will be for me, will keep me in this way, then I will go. I will give him my bread to eat and raiment to put on. Okay, he's talking about a commitment here to the Lord in regards to giving. Okay, so let's fast forward. We've talked about pre-law. All right, now let's go to law. All right, let's go when the law was given, and let's look at tithing. Let's look at, okay, what was the expectation in regards to tithing? Numbers chapter 18. Numbers chapter 18. Okay, remember, it's not something Brother Scott is saying. This is something that the Word of God is speaking for itself on. Numbers chapter 18. And verse 20. Here we're given a little bit more insight into how the Lord is going to use that which has been given. Notice verse 20, it says, and the Lord spake unto Aaron, thou shalt have no inheritance in their land, neither shalt thou have any part among them. Which tribe is the Lord speaking to here? Okay, this is the tribe of Levi. Yeah, the tribe of Levi. And what does he say? What is the Lord basically telling the tribe of Levi here? Yeah.
You're not gonna get any of the land once you get to Canaan.
Yeah, exactly. Their inheritance was what? Okay, for the tribe of Levi, what was their inheritance? Yes, everybody say it. The Lord, yeah, it was the Lord. Okay, so they got a special privilege in that, but as far as having tangible land, that wasn't something they were given. But nonetheless, he goes on here. He says, neither shalt thou have any part of them. I am the part and thy inheritance among the children of Israel. And behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tenth in Israel for an inheritance for their service, which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Okay, so here you're given a little bit more of the purpose behind what's happening with this tithe. Okay, that which is given here, the Lord says, listen, this is what I'm going to do with it. Okay, the Levites don't have anything tangible that I have given them, but I'm going to sustain them. Okay, they're doing a work for me, they're doing a work in my house, and they've given their lives to do this, to be in the place of me, in a sense, and minister to my people. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take that tenth that you've given to me, and I'm going to give it to somebody else so that that will sustain them. And really, that's the essence of how New Testament tithing works to this day, which we will see in when we get to the New Testament. But God essentially, in his economy, he takes what he gives to us, we give back to him, and then what does he do with it? He gives it to somebody else. Okay, and that is the sequence of the heart of God. Okay, there you can't find anything in the Bible that comes even close to, hey, you know what? You need to just, you know, grab all you can, pack it in there, and then just sit on the can. Okay, you don't find anything in the Word of God that propagates that. Why? Because that's not how our God is. Okay, you think about all the things that we've been able to share in with him, right? He creates this beautiful world. What does he do? He puts us in it. He says, these are things I want you to enjoy. Okay, we serve a God that shares in so many things, and that's the way that he wants us to live. Okay, now we have the opportunity to be a part of him facilitating. You know, we give that tenth to him, and then he in turn gives it to somebody else. And you could see that here even at the law. We're going to hit the pause button on this because we'll finish the second half next week. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for being such a great God. And Lord, as we just touched on how, Lord, your character, Father, is to give. And Lord, you are such a great giver. Lord, all of us in this room are beneficiaries of that. Lord, as we say, Lord, you have given so much to us. And Lord, we ought to be so grateful, but also recognizing, Lord, that that needs to be our character. Lord, help us this week, Father, as you have blessed us, help us to bless others. And Lord, certainly when it comes to obeying the commandments that you've laid out in Scripture, Lord, may we do that with a good heart attitude. Lord, thank you for your instruction found in your word. I pray, God, that you would help, Lord, this lesson, as, Lord, we look at it next week, Lord, to only bolster, Lord, our confidence in what you have asked of us. And Lord, I pray that for these teenagers that they would learn to establish this concept early in their lives. And that, Father, that giving a tenth of what they earn would become something that they truly delight in. In your name we pray. Amen.